Hey everybody, it's the Great Debates Podcast. Happy New Year. It's 2016. Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year, Dave.
Happy New Year, man. It's the guys, year of the debate, I think.
2016. I made a New Year's resolution, which is that whenever and wherever possible, I want to get right into it with a micro.
Yes.
I love it.
So I'm hoping that you'll help me and support me in my resolution.
We got a lot to get to. We got a great guest. We'll get to him later, but let's get to a sweet micro right now.
I love it. Okay. This topic was submitted by an AP English teacher at the North Cobb High School in Cobb County, Georgia, Lindsay Covell.
Great. Probably.
Lindsay Covell.
We don't know.
Might be Mrs. Covell or Mrs. Covell to her students. Covell. Maybe she goes by Lindsay. She might be one of those cool teachers.
Not in Georgia. No way.
Not in Georgia. All right.
Well, she submitted by Mrs. Covell. She promised us, though, that if we debated this topic, she would play it for her 11th grade English class.
Okay. Well, so Mrs. Covell and class, happy new year from the Great Debates. We're going to debate this topic. Healy's going to take the pro. Do we have a timer ready to go, sir?
Yes.
The topic up for debate: life is a highway is a dumb metaphor.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. This is a dumb metaphor. A highway is just a road. It's not helpful. It doesn't give you any new information about what life is. You have learned nothing about life by saying it is a highway. How have you improved your understanding of what life is? This was a waste of everyone's time for Tom Cochran to come up with this. I don't know why he did. I mean, life could be an interesting winding road, Sheryl Crow's take. That's a little more interesting. But life is a highway is nothing.
The highway gets us from point A to point B. So too does life. And what we're left with at the end of our life is the understanding that it was less about getting to where the terminus, if you will, of the highway, than it was about the experience of being on the highway itself.
Okay, but a highway
That's what life as a highway is all about.
A highway is just about getting from one place to another. Like an interesting road, a scenic byway, that is something you get on, you have the experience of. A highway is just to get from Tucson to Phoenix.
Of all people, I'm really disappointed in you to denigrate highways by saying that their sole purpose is to get from point A to point B. Of course not. The history, the culture of the American highway is so rich with intermingling of people, with, as you said, scenic views, Route 66 alone, books, not just a book, but dozens of books have been written about just one singular highway, the 101 here in California, even the 5. Each highway, each life, gives us a different experience. The highways intersect at different points. So too do the lives of humans.
Life is not the 101 or the 5. Life is a journey, first of all. Now you might say, okay, well, it's a journey down the 101 or the 5, but it's not. That's the thing about life. You don't know where you're going. It's not on a prescribed route. That's the whole interesting thing about life. Life is a wandering, exploration.
Healy, this idea.
If your life is on a boring highway-like path, you are throwing away the whole joy and wonder of being alive.
This idea that life is a journey and not a destination, that's the trite metaphor. The more interesting one is that life is itself actually more like a highway. It has on-ramps and off-ramps. It has exits. It has detours. Healy. You know where you're going, just as we all know that we're all going to get older, but you don't know exactly what lies ahead. You don't know what you're going to run into. There may be accidents along the way. You may run into people. There are, of course, rest stops.
Okay,
there
are restaurants. What is it? If life is a highway, then what is it when I get off the highway and to go check out the historical marker or to go to Anderson's PC?
That's the difference between life and a road trip. I mean, in a road trip,
life is a road trip. Life is not a highway. That's a much better metaphor.
I disagree. Again, I think that the idea that life is a road trip is trite territory. We've all come to understand the ways in which life is a road trip. You're arguing about which metaphor is more correct. I'm saying that life is a highway is a rich metaphor because it brings to mind things that we don't normally think of when we think about this already worn territory of life being a journey. The American highway, think about just the quality of the road. Sometimes it's smooth sailing. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's rocky.
The highway
that's another way in which highway is like life.
Highway is a well-maintained road. Like, that's basically the definition of the highway.
You know as well as anyone that there's a famous West Wing episode about this.
Every
great
day
show
is
for 11th graders
road.
To watch.
Now that's a metaphor.
One of the most neglected infrastructures, if you will, of our country is the American highway system. I mean,
the whole point of a highway is you know where it goes. You get on the 10
not
and
the
you
whole
know
point
where you will end up.
Healy, you yourself,
in New Orleans.
You know, you're a hypocrite because you yourself just yesterday before this debate, you told me that you did what? You took the highway up to Santa Maria and you had a wonderful time. I'm mad at you now. Well, I hope the kids like that. I mean,
they probably like that they got out of class for a couple minutes. Now, she has to play the whole episode, not just that debate.
That's what she said. She said she'd play the whole episode. So, kids, if she turns it off now, you can tell her that's BS. And you can even say BS because we said it on the podcast.
Do we have to watch our language for this episode?
I don't think it matters.
They're from Georgia. Hey, this is host chat now,
yeah,
right?
Guys, we're in host chat. I think this is a good time to welcome our special guest.
Oh.
To
Hell
the
yeah.
podcast. Guys, our guest today is a very funny actor, a prolific podcaster. Mm. You know him from Parks and Recreation and his podcast, You Talkin' You Two to Me, Adam Scott. Welcome
hey guys.
To
the
Great Debate Studios.
How's it going, man?
Good.
Happy
Thank
you
New
for
Year.
Having me. I love this show, so I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we're psyched to have you. Any thoughts on what you just heard? I'm sweating right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm surprised exits weren't brought
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought in Dave. You brought in how different highways intersect, which
yes.
I thought was really interesting.
Yes, just cool. like people's That's lives.
Cool. I do think that life is a highway is a dumb metaphor, mostly because. I mean, Dave, what are your true feelings on it?
It's a terrible metaphor.
Okay.
It's not even a mode of transportation. It is the thing you transport yourself on. Obviously, the idea that life is a road trip is a better metaphor. And I felt like I was reaching to find richness where really inaccuracy was more the case.
I actually kind of like it as a metaphor. Because like you're driving down the highway, you're going, you're just, you got to keep going. That's really what he's getting at.
Yeah.
But if, you know, I think it's silliness is really exposed in the next line of the song,
yeah.
which is, I want to ride it all night long.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So whoever's song that is from the movie Cars, that's where this came from?
I'm not sure.
Or was that a metaphor from long ago and he just turned it into a song?
That song was... I don't know if the song is where that metaphor first came to popularity. Excuse me. I remember the song from my childhood. It was like a hit. He was a one-hit wonder guy.
Yeah, Tom Cochran.
Tom Cochran. He was Eddie Cochran's son, I believe.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Eddie Cochran died in a motorcycle accident, right?
Is that true?
On a highway.
Yeah, so...
That's very strange.
Maybe some weirdness there.
So Cars, the version in Cars is just a cover.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
You've never seen Cars?
What? Yeah, that's true.
Actually never you
seen
don't
cars
have kids.
I don't have kids. I don't have cars either. I only have one.
Cars isn't...
Is Cars one of the best movies ever about cars?
I would hope so.
Is it a good movie?
I don't think Cars is a particularly
It's the good. One that I feel like I can skip of all those.
You haven't seen it either?
I haven't seen it either.
Okay, I got to...
It's a fine movie, and kids enjoy it.
Tom Cochran's dad is Tuck Cochran.
Yeah, I was wrong.
A bush pilot.
So
I was wrong.
Sorry about
cool
that.
It's cool as hell, by the way.
Can you find the one from your childhood, and we can see if it's the same?
Yeah.
Or do we not give a shit? Maybe we don't care.
I mean, we'll get that going.
Because I feel like...
It's Rascal.
Oh, Rascal Flatts.
So in Cars, it's Rascal Flatts. That makes a lot
it's
of sense.
It's a terrible, terrible song in
it's not,
the movie.
It's
and
not
they play
great.
It over and over again. I think they... Or maybe the movie's been played over and over again in my house.
Probably both.
5 years ago. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Your kids love Cars.
They loved it. My son loved it for a hot 3 months and then didn't care about it anymore.
What's he into now?
Star Wars.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
You got to be happy about that.
Yeah. Did you guys already talk about... I don't remember you talking about the new movie.
We haven't talked about
it. We've all seen it, I think.
Yeah, we've all seen it.
You've all seen it now.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
What did you guys think?
I thought it was pretty great.
Sure.
I had a great time.
I loved it.
I thought, like...
You loved it.
I loved it.
Okay.
Okay, so you just thought it was
good. I was like,
good.
Sure, whatever. It's fine. Star Wars again. That's cool. They didn't fuck it up.
Yeah. I find myself in the position of anytime I talk to someone who loved it, I'm like, yes, it was. You're right. It was a great movie-going experience. Yeah. I loved it for all the reasons you're saying. Yeah. And then when I talk to or read a criticism of it, I'm like, yeah, wait a second. Those things are true, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They kind of... They're, you know, lacked a little originality and whatever, but who cares? I don't know. Who cares?
Great. It was a great time. That's what I, whenever I hear a criticism, I'm like, yeah, who cares? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Don't you think, like, in a certain, you know, because, like, the biggest criticism we hear or I've heard or read is that it's basically just the first Star Wars all over again?
Right.
Yes.
Isn't that kind of just what we want?
Yeah. Totally
like,
fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Totally.
You know,
fine.
Yeah, this time it's a chick and the Death Star's a little bigger or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, great.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe
you. Did you guys well up or cry at any point in the movie?
Mm.
Did you get emotional? I mean, when I saw Han Solo, I got very emotional.
I yeah, I had trouble with that. I was lucky enough to go to the premiere, and I brought my son, who is the same age I was when Return of the Jedi came out, a parallel that I found really significant, and he didn't care at all, and I was way more excited. But when that happened... when the thing happens, I was like, wait, no, this has to be some sort of mistake.
Right.
That's not actually, like, it was hard to accept, which I thought was terrific, because when I was a kid and those movies would come out, each time one of them came out, there was some big thing that we couldn't wrap our minds around that we were talking about at school for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like finding out that Darth Vader is Luke's dad, it's like, oh, wait, what? Wait, what? And we're talking about it until the next one comes out. And so this big, bold move, I thought was exactly what they needed to
that's
do.
That's a good take on that, I think.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah.
Which it was tough to watch and accept, but then it was also, I'm talking about it like as a real person. I thought it was a big, bold, great move to make.
Yeah. It was, cool. I mean, it took me by surprise.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, it's Han Solo, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the next one, right?
Yeah.
No. Will Chewie be in the next one alone?
Chewie's in all of them, of course.
Who will understand Chewie?
Someone said to me.
You okay, man?
Just thinking about Chewie by himself.
No. Oh, man.
That's super sad. That's tough.
But he likes the girl.
Oh, I think, what's her name will be?
They bonded.
What's her name?
Ray will learn Chewie Wookiee language.
Someone said to me, Chewie had some of the best lines in the movie, and I totally agree with that.
Healy, what else is going on in host chatter?
Oh, I got a couple things. I had a extremely delicious glass of orange juice this morning, made with two oranges from Dan Medina's father's farm.
Oh, that's great. I didn't see that twist come.
Two oranges.
Yeah, Dan brought me two oranges from Winters, California.
Yeah, from Winters, California.
And you can make a whole cup of orange juice out of that?
I got a pretty decent cup. I would say maybe 6 ounces of orange juice out of the two oranges.
Usually I fill a juice glass with one orange. Like
that's a juicy orange.
It was juicy as hell.
When I go home, they're having orange juice, fresh squeezed orange juice, every single weekend morning.
Man.
Doesn't it just make you think like we're doing it all wrong?
We are.
Just something as simple as a fresh squeezed glass of OJ, and you're like, what the hell are we doing here, man?
So good.
Adam, do your kids like the movie A Bug's Life?
Not especially.
Okay. I was working on, like, they're doing this project of, like, a Bug's Life video game.
Yeah.
And I was just doing some punch-up on it, but they want one of the ant characters to be kind of foul-mouthed.
Uh-huh.
But there's back and forth about how foul-mouthed he can be.
Yeah.
So I had quite the day.
Well.
I spent all day answering and swearing emails.
Well. Wait, they're making a Bug's Life video game now?
No, I'm making... this is all to lead to a pun that I came up with on the way over here.
I'm sorry.
I don't think you're at fault here, Adam.
I was answering ant-swearing emails.
And you... And in your mind, when you drove over here, you felt
exactly this would happen.
You felt that you would take this very long walk.
Yeah.
And then
you guys would sit there in kind of silence. And then yeah. It would be, I feel like we've done this before. And it, I don't know. It seems fun. I end up being sort of the butt of the joke. But it's...
I'd like to know what the North Cobb High School AP English class thinks about that.
Because it technically isn't a pun, is it?
I don't know what the technical definition of a pun is.
A word that sounds like something else? It's punny.
Punny. It's punny, right? Answering and swearing.
It just was interesting to me that answering sounds kind of like ant swearing.
Yeah. It's one of the most mildly interesting things I've ever heard.
Well,
I also felt like bringing Adam in on that was like a little... There was something disingenuous about it that now I feel bad for Adam, because you were like, do your kids like A Bug's Life? And I thought, oh, this, you have a genuine interest in his children's
You know, I thought that would be part of the joke, is like, we've got this guy here and he's gonna say something and it's just being wasted to get to this dumb pun.
I think the fatal flaw if I may,
please,
Steve, I'm sorry,
no, it's okay,
is that you expected me to buy into you working on a current video game about a 12-year-old movie.
That was too curious.
Well, you used the little bon mot came out, and Adam was already on. He wanted answers.
Right.
Well, you know what actually happened was, I was like, I thought about saying that I was working on a Bug's Life 2, which they are making, but then I was like, then people might misunderstand and think that I'm really working on it. I'm taking credit for working on a Pixar movie.
But you were going to walk it back at the end anyway.
I know.
It was going to be revealed that it's all...
Yeah, I mean, did you think that it was okay for you to take credit for working on...
Yeah, sure, who cares about the video game? That doesn't
but
matter.
Who cares about either when they're both fictitious?
Imaginary.
Yeah.
I've got one more item for
okay.
host chat.
You should maybe... Maybe you know how Bug's Life and Ants came out.
Yeah, I thought about doing Ants too. Yeah. And I also had a different version where it's like some scientists have invented a machine where we can hear what ants are saying, and it's an ant swearing machine.
Okay. Ants. All right. Well, those are all possibilities.
Hey, you know, it's just experiments here. I do want to endorse a product while we're in this chat.
Do it.
I exclusively use the Docket Gold brand of notepad by Tops.
By Tops.
Okay.
For Great Debates.
Now, this is Tops, T-O-P-S.
Yeah.
And the idea here is that because these are, it's got your topics on it.
Picked it because it's a good pad.
But it turns out you write a lot of Tops on it.
But also not at all Tops, the baseball card company.
I don't think they have any
different
connection.
No, that's two P's.
Two P's.
Yeah. And a different logo and everything.
Thanks to Tops. Coincidence. Tops with two P's. Do you know why they do it with two P's?
No, I like this.
The owner of the company, Jonathan Crazer, has two penises.
I read it. That's right.
Yeah, you know, right?
You heard that, right?
That's so weird. It's like one of those little winks.
That's one of those things.
It's like one, you see the arrow in the FedEx logo and you can never unsee it again. Yeah. It's the same thing. You see the two P's and Tops and you always
Crazer
think about
syndrome.
Double penis.
Crazer's,
I don't know if I've ever seen the arrow in the FedEx.
Oh, take a good look. Okay. Take a good look. It's in the negative space. Mm-hmm. It's one of
it's an optical illusion of sorts.
I don't know if it's
just great design.
It's good design. Mm-hmm. It's
it's
not unlike
good design.
It's between the E and the X there. That's right. And it sort of like the it's a more clever version of the right facing arrow in the Hillary H logo, I would say. Another great example, just while we're on the subject
of negative space
of
arrows.
Negative space lettering or whatever, is the H in the now defunct Hartford Whalers logo, which is made from white space between the W for Whalers and the whale tail. I'm not
what
joking.
What are the Hartford Whalers?
They're now the Carolina Hurricanes. They're an NHL team. So there's this H for Hartford, which you kind of don't, you'll see it now. We're looking at it here in the studio. It's gray in this version on the jerseys. Sometimes it's
if
white.
You're driving, pull over, Google it.
Absolutely.
H-W.
Hartford Whalers. But if at first glance, all you see is a W with a whale tail. And then if you look a little deeper, you see this.
It's a good logo. The checkerboard is confusing.
That, I think, is...
Looks like they designed it on their mom's tablecloth.
That, I think you're looking at a sort of transparent image on a... It's like the, you know, it's a weird JPEG or something.
Right, right. That's not part of the...
No. Yeah, that's something...
Okay. I'm pretty sure that there's no one in Cobb County, Georgia, who's still listening to the podcast.
No, they have to. They have to.
Miss Cavell?
Miss Cavell, students, you know this is better than actually working.
That's true.
And on your homework.
If anything, we've given them visual aids. They could call them up. They're learning about design. They learned about Crazer syndrome.
Maybe our goal should be to waste an entire school period, one period.
Might happen.
Speaking of tops.
Let's do another debate. Adam, are you ready to do what you came here to do and to debate?
I think so. I'm not sure I can really measure up to what you guys do here week in, week out, slaving away, but I will try.
Okay, well, I would like to have you debate Steve.
Okay. He's one of the best.
He is.
Good luck.
Steve traditionally takes the pro, so you'll take the con against Steve. I've got a topic for you two to debate.
Steve takes the pro. Adam's taking the con. Is that correct?
Yeah. Is that not what I just said? Sorry. Right, so,
and the pro is?
He's going to argue for the statement that I'll lay out in a minute, and you're going to argue against it. And the topic is THX is an effective abbreviation for thanks.
Okay, so you've got to thank somebody for something in an email. You don't want to spend the time to write thank you. You also don't want to suggest the formality of the full word thank you. So you write THX.
Thanks is the word in the topic. Sorry.
Oh, wait, what?
It's THX. Just thanks. It's not just thank you.
Okay, yeah, you don't want to write thanks. Thanks can seem a little passive aggressive. It can seem weird. When you write THX, you get it across effectively, exactly the message that you're trying to send. Thanks. Thanks for helping out. Thanks. It's become its own word with its own meaning, I think, and it's very effective.
Okay. I mean, since my position is kind of two-pronged, I think that means that you're wrong in two different ways. First of all, THX, the time it takes to write THX as opposed to THANKS, is slightly less, but
half the time, right?
I will bet you all the money in the world that you add the time it takes to write THX, add that to the second that it takes for you to think, I'm going to do this instead of writing THANKS. You have now saved zero time. Secondly, I think that THX does not actually mean thank you. And I don't think it means thanks either. I think that THX and THANKS mean two totally different things. If you are really sincerely thanking somebody for something, like truly sincerely, would you really write THX? Or rather, are you writing THX to say something completely different, which is, yes, this is a thing that you should have done for me, and I appreciate it? Or are you saying, please get this done right now? The THX is a passive-aggressive way of saying, I'm out of time, you need to get your shit in order and get this thing done for me.
I don't know. I think writing the whole word thanks is more passive-aggressive. You're like really taking your time to say thanks, Donna, for getting me the reports. Appreciate it. Whereas THX, we're all business people. We're getting it done. I'm thanking you, but we're part of an organization. There's no need for a lot of formality. Let's just get her done.
Okay, that's completely ridiculous. You think that writing the word thanks, is passive aggressive, and writing THX is full of thought and gratitude? I mean, that's the most insane thing. I think that might be the most insane thing I've ever even heard on this show before. And I've listened to almost every episode. I mean, that's crazy.
You and I work at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and you're at the...
you do?
Yeah, yes, sorry. We do.
Okay, I'm sorry. Not my debate.
A part-time job.
Yes, and me here.
Don't worry about it,
I work
Dave.
At Long Beach, and you work at the one at LAX, and I need to get some... extra Kia Souls down here to Long Beach. So I said, can you send me a couple Kia Souls?
Sure.
I write thanks. It's like you're doing me a personal favor. I write THX. Like, we're business people.
If I'm actually doing you a personal favor, actually going out of my way to get something done for you that I don't have to, I'm just a nice person. You write me an email that says THX, that's the last favor I ever do for you.
Well,
on the other hand, you write me an email and you say, I really appreciate this. You know, let me know when I could do, you know, maybe pay you back for this favor. Thanks, THANKS. I'd be like, yeah, sure, of course. Anytime, bro.
Well, then you're saying, like, I mean, then we're in a world where it's a whole other, like, I should be saying more than just thanks. I should be saying, hey, I know this is above and beyond. I need a couple Kia Souls.
So if there's no other sentences involved, it's just thanks, THANKS.
Yeah, send me some Kias, THX.
I would be like, oh, yeah, this guy means it. It's really nice. He took the time to write an actual word.
Ooh.
How about this? How about the fact that,
I've got customers. What about
will you admit that by the time you come up with THX, your brain has actually spent time deciding that you're going to do THX instead of actually writing?
Well, okay, but you're also, I'm sending you a message. I'm an effective, busy guy. I'm getting stuff done. I don't have a lot of time to dilly-dally.
So
I
need your brain had to go through the process of, I want to communicate that I'm a busy guy, so I'm going to write THX. So you didn't end up, you're actually, it's like putting on a hat that make you that like a cool hat. It that you don't actually
okay, but
organically
people listen to a guy
feel
with a cool hat.
What?
What? They follow his instructions. Like long term.
Since when?
I'm gonna save more
Since
time.
When do people follow the instructions of a guy with any hat on? Any guy with a hat tells me what to do. I'm not listening.
Why
to
does
him.
The Navy make such a big deal out of their hats?
Well, I think that went exactly the way we all expected it to go. You always end up arguing about hats when you're arguing.
Medina, what did you think?
I think Adam destroyed you.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I think he actually had arguments. Adam, I think you actually had arguments, and Steve, I think you were kind of
I
failing.
Was flailing around. I had nothing.
No, I felt like what I was arguing was ridiculous.
Of course you should write thanks, right? Writing THX is a dick move.
It's a dick move.
Right? It's a dick move,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
I have to say, I think I do it. Huh. Not all the time, but sometimes.
But you are probably doing it in sort of a tongue-in-cheek way. The people you communicate with know you're just joking around.
I think starting tonight, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Wow.
Because I think it is kind of shitty.
2016.
Maybe. But what I didn't bring up, which I... is that sometimes I see people write THNX, which is like, all right, well, that's now saving time is completely out the window.
Let me ask this. Joke, what right? about the less popular but sometimes used TX? Have you guys any familiarity with that? Are we?
I've never
seen that. I've seen it a few times. I'm going to say, I'll say this. If the objective is to be as effective as possible, that might be the way to go, but it seems really obnoxious. That's good.
Adam, what do you think? Do people ever write emails to you that end with cheers? Do you ever get that? Is that
what?
Part of your life?
Yes.
Really?
What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? Is that?
See, cheers to me is like someone that just got back from England and is like, I'm going to use this a bit.
Right.
And I'm going to roll my own cigarettes and say cheers instead of thanks.
Right.
Because it means thanks, right?
I guess. It means thanks.
It means
and we're
later
pals,
in a good way. I'm Australian.
Yeah,
see
we're,
you
having, yeah we're
next
all
time.
On the same team.
Cheers.
We all live on this island together.
Can I tell a quick story related to cheers?
Of course.
So, you know, Christmas break, we all just had winter break, whatever you want to call it. I met a guy over a break who had a great parent gift story about the word cheers, which is that he has like a bar, I guess, in his home, and his mom got him like a sort of light up sign to put above his bar. And the sign said cheer, but she said it says cheers. So like could put it, you know, put it over your bar.
Like the TV show.
Like the thing you say with when you have a beer, cheers. And he was like, no, this says this is like holiday cheer. This is the singular down cheer.
Opening a bar called cheer would be baffling.
I wouldn't do it. If you're opening a bar, don't call it cheer. Great advice.
Cheer.
What about just chee, like C-H-E-E?
That's kind of cool. I don't know what that is, but I gotta check it out once.
I'd hit chi.
My mom abbreviates in text and emails. She abbreviates the word could with just CD.
Mm. I don't know about
and
that.
Also check, like as in check it out, CK. Huh. And I never know. Mm. You have to sit and look at it for a moment before figuring out what the deciphering the sentence.
Shorter for them, longer for you.
Yes.
Moms in the digital age. Yeah. It's just a great...
It's a great thing. It's cool to watch.
Never-ending wonders.
Fun to watch.
Yeah.
Guys, should we do another debate?
I think we have time for one more, yeah.
Okay, so Adam, why don't you take on Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. And in this one, you can take the pro, and Dave will, as is traditional, take the con. The topic that you're going to be arguing for is, if you're ready, the earliest hotel checkout time should be 1 p.m.
Yeah, look, just this morning, my wife and I checked out of a hotel, and we had to get a late checkout time. And we got a late checkout time of 2 p.m. Now, at 2 p.m., the fact that we got to the hotel at 5 p.m., which is reasonable. We had to check out at 2 p.m. and we had to really push, and I mean push, to get that late checkout time. That means that we spent 20 hours.
Yeah.
20 hours in this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
20 hours. And we paid a good amount of money. It was a nice hotel. We're getting away for a night. And we only got to spend 20 hours there. In what world is this fair? Also, every time you have to ask for a late checkout, it's as if you're asking them for a free night at the hotel, which is ridiculous. I just want to check out at a reasonable time. What's the point of staying at a hotel if you can't sleep in, get some room service, maybe watch a movie? You know, it's winter break. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Your hotel is supposed to be providing a service, which is rest and relaxation. Should I really be worried about getting out of there at 11 a.m.? That's the standard checkout time? That is crazy, especially if I'm in my 20s and I can't wake up before noon. Like, if I was in my 20s, this would be even crazier than it is now. The fact that I had to push and probably pay extra to check out at 1 or 2 p.m. is insane to me.
Okay. Some fair points made. I have a couple points to make in my opening
statement.
First of all, I think we're exaggerating the degree to which it's cumbersome or difficult or a pain in the ass to ask for a late checkout. In my experience, if you call the front desk, if it's a good hotel or if it's a reasonable person at the front desk, and especially if you call the night before as opposed to the morning of or ask when you check in, usually the conversation is something like, is there any way we could get a late checkout? Let me see. I could give you an extra hour. I could give you an extra 90 minutes. Is that okay? That would be great if you could do 2 hours, you know, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., whatever. It's usually a very simple negotiation. And I think to, you know, imply that people are up in arms about getting calls about late. At this point in time, every employee of a hotel at the front desk is used to getting that call. They know how to deal with this.
Exactly. They know that this is a call that comes in more often than not. They're getting this request. So why not just change the standard checkout time to 1 p.m.?
There's a very simple reason for that. Because on the other end of things, people need to check into the hotel. You yourself checked in at 5 p.m. Even if the checkout, the earliest checkout time was 5 p.m., hotel rooms, I hate to tell you, they need to be cleaned. They need to be stripped of their linens. They need to be redressed. They need to be new towels need to be put in. And this can't all be done at once. Now, I hate to be the pro-business guy, but it's very difficult for hotels to – in fact, it is impossible for hotels to accommodate both late checkouts and on-time check-ins. So, for the benefit of the greater good, the checkout time, unfortunately, is a little earlier than we all would like it to be. But that's the way it has to be. Otherwise, you'd be you know, you'll see more and more if, you know, if we had it, let's put it this way. If the checkout time were 1 p.m., then you wouldn't be guaranteed to be able to check in until 7 or 8. And if you're coming from, let's say you're flying into town, the first thing you want to do is go to your room and just take a shower and lie down. Well, you won't have that luxury, or I don't think luxury is even the right word. You won't have that basic right if everyone demands a late checkout time. It's a simple numbers issue.
Okay, so you're telling me that that 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
is because that's I would say that's the standard check-in
time. I think
we can
agree that's a standard guaranteed check-in time. By 3 p.m. your room will be ready.
You're telling me that 4 p.m. would be totally unreasonable.
Well, I don't think 4 p.m. is unreasonable, but
and are you saying, also telling
well,
me?
Well, you hold on. Let's get the numbers right here for
okay.
a second.
All right,
we've stipulated that the average checkout time is 11 a.m. I think
right.
that varies, but that seems reasonable.
Right.
And what we're debating here is that the earliest hotel checkout time, the earliest, not the accepted, but the earliest is 1 p.m. So at a minimum, we're talking about moving the guaranteed check-in time by 2 hours. So we're talking about 5 p.m.
So exactly. So you okay. think that let's say 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. This
yeah.
is the standard amount of time
That's
they
right.
have. So you think we need in excess of 4 hours to clean a hotel room?
No, it's not a hotel room. It's every hotel room. It's every especially on the nights that you're most likely to frequent a hotel. It's the busiest times for them to be working. They simply don't have the workforce to clean all the rooms at once. I hate to break it to you, Adam, but they're not only cleaning the room that you're checking into.
You know what? I'm going to call bullshit on that. I think you love to break it to me.
That's true. I'll admit to that. I love okay. breaking it to you. But no, it's very true. There's a limited amount of cleaning people. I mean,
well,
when you walk the hallways of a hotel, you see the pace at which the cleaning crew is working. It's not like they're slacking on the job.
Of course.
And there's only so, you know.
But that is why my number one argument has always been we need to reorganize the cleaning staff at all hotels. So starting at 1 p.m., they
well, oh, wow. Just, well, go ahead, finish the thought.
They need to reorganize the cleaning staff so it can be done. So we don't need 4 hours to clean all of the rooms. So it can. So if we push it to an average check-in time of 4 p.m.,
I hear you.
We can. All we need is that, what, 1 to 4, that's 3 hours. All we need is 3 hours, and it can all get. I think if they. If they maybe spend a little more money on cleaning staff and organize them a little better, it can get done.
I think this is – now that the debate's
none
over –
None of this is what I actually
– Oh, we assume that all our listeners understand that, as we like to say, the opinions expressed by the debaters are not necessarily the opinions held by the debaters. But now that the debate's over, I think – maybe there's some common ground that we could agree on here. It seems like now more than ever in the whatever it's called, what do they call it? The share economy or something? Isn't there some clever term for
what is it called? Shared economy, yeah.
Is that something?
I think so.
That can't be right.
Yeah. Share economy is a thing.
No.
Yeah.
Share economy?
But like, couldn't a hotel just like hire a bunch of dudes on TaskRabbit to get in there and clean the rooms at the most popular times?
Well,
flexible hotel
there's union stuff.
Yeah, what happened to you? You're busting unions today and supporting big business?
I don't know. I'm just trying to help us get
some guys from Instacart down there.
That's your answer.
What I've learned is that you can stay in a hotel room until they bodily throw you out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's late checkout or not, what's going to happen is at some point the lady's going to roll her card up. And then it's going to be time for you to go. But until that moment, like,
I've been in that situation before, where
it's fine.
My
right?
flight isn't for another few hours, and I'm just like, I'm going to lay here until they tell me to leave.
It's also like probably most hotel rooms. Yeah, you swap the towels, you change the linens. It takes 20 minutes. And then every once in a while, somebody's just destroyed the room.
Right.
And that's the X factor.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
interesting. True. Like a rock band was there?
Yeah. You know. Like,
so if you haven't destroyed your room, just stay there.
If Robert Plant and Jimmy Page hadn't stayed in the room you're probably fine.
A no destroy clause gets you a couple extra hours.
Who would be the hotel destroyers of now, do you think? Because Robert Plant and Jimmy Page obviously aren't destroying hotel rooms anymore.
They're past their destruction. Want to clean a Miley Cyrus room?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's just going to be a good time. A
lot of glitter. Oh, Guy Fieri is an interesting suggestion.
Well, he probably tips. I bet Guy Fieri tips $100. He's a good hotel guest. He may leave a lot of wings and sauce around. Like, he's probably because he thinks of himself as like man of the people.
There's
wings
everywhere.
He's making wings
in the sink, in the bathtub. He can't stop.
Yeah.
Is it now? Some people like to say Fieri. Does that drive
really?
Yeah. What? Haven't you heard that Guy Fieri?
Who says
Fieri?
That?
You never heard that? I'm the first person who you've heard pronounce the word that way.
Fieri?
Yeah.
Like they're rolling the R? Or
yeah, something like that.
Did they also say Guy Fieri?
Guy Fieri. No, Guy Fieri.
Not what I've heard. Like I don't know. Sorry I brought it up.
That's great.
That's how he says it, right?
Oh,
Fieri.
It is?
That's our producer, Mark, chiming in.
Oh, Italian-American Mark Carosello weighing in. That's how he says it.
It's actually not his real name. Either.
What's his real name, Mark? Ferry? Okay,
Guy
well,
Ferry.
Could understand
Gay
why.
Guy Ferry is his
Gay
real
Ferry
name.
Is his real name. Like tough. A meet the parents situation.
Guys, this was great. Adam, thank you so much
for
joining
me,
us.
Guys.
We had a great time.
Next time I'm walking by with my canine, I'll say hello, Dave.
Please, yeah. Adam and I are neighbors, which is awesome. And you just got a Labradoodle?
A Labradoodle dog.
Got to meet him.
I'm going to look into the Labradoodle.
It's a good dog.
Well, everybody, Happy New Year. We're psyched to be back for 2016 and another year of great debating. And we'll look forward to seeing you all on the next episode.